to see you is the end and the beginning. You carry me and you go before. You are the journey and the journey's end. Amen.
Amen.
Today's gospel from Matthew includes the line, "Let those who welcome a prophet in the name of a prophet receive the prophet's reward." Let those who welcome a prophet come into your house, because you will receive the prophet's reward when you welcome that prophet into your house. Now, rewards points in airlines, in grocery stores and gas stations. It's like, okay, you know, spend $15,000 and I'll give you 10 for, you know, your trip to Cancun or whatever. And the reward is that you rack up your points, and then when you cash them in, then you get something for free, even though you spent three times as much. I'm not even going there. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He says, those who welcome the prophet in the name of a prophet will receive the prophet's reward. Well, I'm not really so sure about that. Think of the prophets. When I was in seminary, the educational burden was really hard. I mean, we worked tough. And I was also a chaplain, and I was also teaching religious ed at a local school. So, and I had family, and, you know, things were... So we relied on certain kinds of humor to kind of get us through. The old gospel saying, you know, you gotta laugh to keep from crying. Because it was really hard. We had to laugh to keep from crying. So seminary humor is probably not the kind of humor that the parish would like. Which is why I'm sharing it with you. A friend of mine had a t-shirt and a sweatshirt, and she was a feisty lawyer in her previous life. She defended and fought tooth and nail and was down in the dishes, and she had this great t-shirt which said, "Prophets are very rarely popular." And she had a sweatshirt, and she wore it on the subway in New York City. People are preaching on soapboxes on 42nd Street, and she's wearing that t-shirt. Yeah, prophets are very rarely popular. And it's true. Two of my favorite prophets, Nathan, John the Baptist. Nathan. Remember Nathan. You know, Peter, you don't get to shake your head because I know you don't. Nathan knew that David sent her husband into the battle in the front so that he would die, so that he could marry the woman that he lusted after. David used his kingly office, his power, to kill another human being so that he could satisfy his own needs. Imagine Nathan, prophet of the Lord, in the middle of the night, being woken up, and God saying, "Hey, Nathan, you got to go to David because he's done something wrong. And yeah, he's the king of Israel and he could kill you. I am charging you to go to him and speak the truth." Nathan do this. So Nathan, like any good parish priest, comes up with a donkey and a couple of heifers and some chips and salsa and keg of beer and saying, David, I gotta talk to you. And you know, sit down, have a meal, you know, we'll... And he says, this man had a lamb. He was poor, and this lamb was the very pride of his existence. And he fed that lamb from his table. He gave him his children's milk and his children's food, and he nurtured that lamb. And one day, a rich man came into his house and took that lamb, grabbed it out of his house, dragged it into the front yard, cut its throat, and sacrificed it and fed it to his family, and did not recompense that man for his lamb, for that one lamb that he had nurtured all that day. Nathan says to David, what should happen to the person who stole that lamb, knowing full well that he had killed his lover's husband? What should happen? David, because he's a ruler, says, well, you know, law says you have to recompense, and, you know, he should be killed. Nathan points his finger at power and says, you are the man. And I'm not talking about Detroit, you know, you are the man, you're the man. It's kind of like the Southern thing, bless your heart, it doesn't mean what it says. You are the one. You are the one who is guilty. You are the one who has to pay, because you have transgressed the laws of God, and you have defiled your sacred duty as king. You have betrayed the trust, not only of your people, but also of God, and you are not worthy to sit on the throne of Israel. You are guilty. John the Baptist. He knows that Herod has married his brother's wife. A big no-no. Can't do that. And he calls him out and he says, Herod, you're doing something wrong. No. Herod puts him in prison, and John the Baptist loses his head over telling the truth. Cut off, brought in on a platter. Speaking the truth to power has consequences. Let those who welcome a prophet in the name of a prophet receive the prophet's reward. From where I'm standing, I don't want that prophet to come near my house, because I know what the prophet's reward is going to be, and it's not going to be pretty. But we are called by God to speak the truth. We are called by God to say what is right. We are called by God to maintain the sacred trust between him and us, so that our bonds will not be broken. This weekend, we are wrapped up in our own patriotic frenzy. Fireworks have been going off since God knows when. Dogs don't like it, neither do I. And we hold these truths to be self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And it's not even Jesus saying this. It's not even Jesus saying, love God and love your neighbor. It's these people saying that we should have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. that we should be free people and that no one can abrogate that right, because God has ordained where we are. If you believe that, and if you believe the words of Jesus, then I have some prophet's words for you. Where are we now? What do we do when the widow and the orphan are cast in the street? What do we do now when those who are suffering are left voiceless, homeless, and hungry? What do we do? How do we regain God's sacred trust? If we believe that this is true, look on the path that we have trod. Look on the path and see where we need to go in order to get back on the path. Because, sisters and brothers, from my perspective, we're not even close. We need to be the prophets. We need a prophet. We need someone to speak truth to power. We need someone to speak the truth and to say, no, this is not what we stand for. This is not us. We are not disciples of God, and we are certainly not the heirs of the one thing that we believe when everything seems to be in tatters. We need a prophet. And if a prophet enters your house, give them shelter. If a prophet enters your house, give them food and clothing so that they may proclaim the truth and speak truth to power. Because that's why we're here. That's the Christian message. That's why Jesus walked the earth and died for us, so that we may be the true, faithful people of God. Now, I know you're saying to yourself, oh yeah, I came to church today because Father Ed's going to give me some good words and I'm going to make me feel good and everything's going to be all right. And we're all trying to be, you know, happy and joyful. But sometimes we need to be the prophets. I know you didn't wake up this morning and say, I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to hear Father Ed preach and it's going to be great, and afterwards, you know, we're going to have coffee. But sometimes we need to go out. We need to do those things, and we need to be the prophets that God has ordained each and every one of us to be. It takes strength, courage, and the strength and courage of a community so that we can all support one another, so that we can be the daughters and sons of God that God has ordained us to be. Set aside. That's what ordination means, right? We are set aside. We are set aside by the people and ordained by God to speak the truth. May we have the strength and courage and wisdom speak the truth this day, so that we may be God's people on this earth. And may we glorify God every day that we walk this earth. So help us, God. Amen.